The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined us this morning to journey with us through the Gospel of Luke. We are Jesus' apprentices, trying to learn how to love and serve and be like the Master. That process, it's an ongoing, a lifetime journey of transformation. God is looking not just behavior modification, but He's looking for transformation. And for that transformation to take place, you and I must understand the model of Jesus' apprentices. And the model is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. As Jesus' apprentices, we must keep in mind what is expected from us, from those who want to learn how to love and be like Jesus, to serve like Jesus, is loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. It is good to have you with us on this journey. We are on the fourth week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And every week we have a memory verse. And the memory verse for this week comes from the words of Simon as he was praising God. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. What a beautiful memory verse. And I hope you are trying to memorize. One person decided to do a kind of a screensaver for their cell phone with the memory verse for the week. So every week when this person looks to their cell phone to check a message or a call, whatever, this person sees the memory verse. Find ways for you to memorize God's word. And imagine if you do one Bible verse each week, by the end of the year, you'll have at least 52 Bible verses memorized. That's beautiful. Imagine a few years doing that practice. Well, you'll have memorized many Bible verses. Well, before we study today's passage or portion. And today we'll be reflecting on Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. And we'll have a quick look on verse 52 because it's somehow connected with that. We'll read verse 52 again tomorrow, but those are the Bible verses for us today. But before we go and read and reflect and try to understand what is in front of us here in God's Word, we need to prepare ourselves, right? To listen to God, to pay attention to His voice, to be sensitive for the impressions of the Holy Spirit. And we do that because we understand that God wants to meet us, He wants to transform us, He wants to bless us, and we can come before Him anytime. He's with us all the time, but it's not all the time that we seek Him and we look for Him, that we reach out to Him. But at this moment, we want to take some time to reach out to Him. And I think it's good for us, it's a good practice for us to prepare ourselves for this encounter. And we do that based on the promise of Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. We have this assurance that we can come to the Lord. Maybe you're the first time here with us. So what I usually do, I give you 1 minute to reflection, a minute of reflection, for you to prepare yourself, to try to put aside those voices and noises that maybe are not helping you to connect with God. It is a time for you to slow down, for you to prepare yourself. There's some images of nature, there's some music, some like to watch, other likes to close and just hear. I don't know. But the most important here is to have a moment for you to prepare yourself. And after that, we'll have a short prayer and then we'll reflect on the portion for today. So take this moment to reflect and prepare yourself for this encounter with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is good to be in your presence. It is good to know that you're a loving God, that you reign based on grace, a throne of grace. And we praise your name because we have full access. And every time we come before you, you have reserved for us a blessing, grace, mercy, yourself to be with us. Thank you, Lord, for that. We ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as we navigate the story of Jesus. Help us to hear his voice and his impressions. And help us, Lord, to live out what we have learned. Lord, in a special way, I pray for those that are listening to my voice that need some peace, healing, hope. I pray that you manifest upon them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, take your Bible, Luke chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 39 and 40 and then 52. But before we start reading, just to recap, right? So yesterday we studied the moment that Anna, this beautiful person, comes and sees the Lord in the temple. If you remember, Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus left Bethlehem towards Jerusalem, the temple of Jerusalem, to perform the cleanness, purification process for Mary after 40 days of the birth of Jesus as presented in the law of Moses, but also to present Jesus to the Lord and say thank you for the life of Jesus according to the law. So as they approach the temple, they are greeted, let's say, by Simon, this man that the Holy Spirit led him to the temple because he would see the Savior on that day. And Simon grabs Jesus in his arms and start praising the Lord and saying a few words upon Jesus. And then he turns to Mary and say a few words to Mary. So during that time, Anna comes, and she comes praising the Lord as well. People around is seeing what's happening, listening, try to understand, and they are saying, here's the Messiah. And imagine Mary and Joseph with all that. So they are in the temple, right? Performing those laws, right? That was instructed by God. So now we come verse 39. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord. Let's pause here for a second. If you have not noticed, Luke is presenting a way of life of those that love the Lord. I could say Luke is introducing to those that don't have a concept of God, the God as described in the Bible. He's telling these people how to live their lives, how a person that loves the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength, with all they have and with all who they are, how they should live their life, a life of obedience. And you see, so far, that is one of the main highlights of Luke's narrative, right? He presents Elizabeth and Zechariah as faithful, obedient to God. He presents Mary as faithful, obedient to God. He presents Joseph, right? So what we see here, it is a people that are faithful to God and God's instructions and God's will. And that is so important because that it is supposed to be the way of life of anyone that calls themselves a disciple of Jesus, a Christian, a follower of Christ, an apprentice of Jesus. But one of the main issues when we talk about obedience, surrender, is the motivation for that. We know that a lot of people, they obey God out of fear. Fear of not being saved. The fear of hell or eternal destruction. Fear of what people will think or say about you. So this foundation or motivation of fear is not what is supposed to propel the followers of Christ to obey, to surrender. No, it is the love of God. First, God loved us first. That's what John says. And because his love, we can reply in love. Because we know that he loves us and he has the best in heart for us. We know that we can trust him, that we can love him back, obeying him, surrender to him. And so what we see here on these first two chapters is a group of people obeying God, the shepherds going obeying the angels, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And here, listen, even among the pious and the good people that obey God, they're not perfect. And we see that with Zechariah, a priest that received a message inside of the temple, of the holy place, and has doubts. That's the beauty. Like you and I, we have problems and challenges, and even though those challenges and problems on our walk and spiritual life and on our life, that doesn't define who we are, right? Because we are not our worst moment or we are not the best moment. We are who God says we are, right? And Luke tells us that Zechariah was a good person. And as a good person, he had some doubts as well. So Luke's trying to portray for those that are being introduced to the Christian life, a life of Jesus' apprentice as a life of surrender, submission, and obedience based in the love. So because God loved you, because God gave the Savior for you, love him back, trust him, obey him, surrender to him. So what we see here as this opening, at this open statement, when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law, circumcision, the giving of the name, purification for the birth, for Mary, the dedication. So they obeyed everything, right? So that's a great description. That's a beautiful way to introduce. And that's the narrative that Luke is building up. And somehow I think it is important for us to pay attention to that, because if that was not clear up to this point, Luke goes to the heart. Hey, here, be obedient. And because Luke has the emphasis, I want to show you how Jesus' parents were obedient, how obedience is so important. The next account that he brings, right, that we'll be studying tomorrow, is the account where Jesus is obedient as well. So it's not just Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth. It is not just shepherds. Jesus as well. So he is in this narrative of obeying God's law based on love. And because he is on this account, Luke, he goes the next moment, he wants to present Jesus. He doesn't want you and I to lose the focus here. And based on that, we can understand why Luke didn't mention the visit of that people that came from the West to see Jesus, that Matthew mentions about that, right? Luke doesn't mention about Jesus going to Egypt, fleeing from the destruction or death by King Herod, right? Luke, not that he was not aware, but for me, in my humble understanding, he's building up this concept of a lifestyle of obedience, right? Circumcision, purification, the give of name, dedication is about being obedient to God based on the love that he has shown us. That he says, hey, that account of fleeing, the visit of those important people from the West may not build up to this moment that I'm bringing the people, the message. It doesn't go along with his narrative. So he jumps that and he goes to the point where he shows Jesus being obedient. And that's important for us to keep in mind. And that's one of the reasons that maybe Luke has not mentioned those aspects that Matthew did, right? Matthew is showing that Jesus fulfilled some prophecies of the Hebrew Bible. So therefore, there are prophecies related to the escape, the death of the child. So for the narrative, for the story that Matthew is telling, to for the approach that he adopted, that makes sense to say. For Luke, no, he's talking about being obedient and being faithful to God, and that's the life of a follower of Christ, how that is important. So he skips that, and then he jumps on the next account that we'll be studying tomorrow, when Jesus visits Jerusalem, probably for the first time at the age of 12, right? How obedient he is. Not to his parents, but to God, okay? But here, let's go back. So when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth and Galilee. So we know, according to Matthew, after Egypt, they went back to Galilee, to Nazareth, right? Because there's a prophecy saying that the Messiah would be a Galilee, right? From Galilee, right? And Luke, he's saying, hey, they went back to Nazareth. And here, before we go and dwell on this concept of the family Nazareth, Jesus in Nazareth, let me ask you, are you being obedient to God? Are you surrender daily? And if you have done that, what is the motivation? Is fear? Is because you feel that is an obligation? Is because you're trying to avoid some kind of consequences? Why you are being obedient to God? You see, Jesus' apprentices, they are aware that God is love, that God has loved them, that they live by grace, and in return, and an answer to that love, they respond in love. A love that is translated in submission and surrender and giving up the control of our lives, because we know that the Almighty, the powerful one, has the best interest in us, and He loves us. But let's turn back here. So after they were obedient, they went back to Nazareth. Nazareth was a small village at the time, probably a dozen of houses. As far as we know, one main well for water. The archaeological excavations identified one main synagogue. It's a very small town or village at the time. And what happens there? Okay, verse 40. There, the child grew up healthy and strong. Luke is saying, hey, Jesus had a usual development as a child. He presents, right, Jesus as God, as the Messiah, as the Lord, the Holy One. At this point, Luke is emphasizing the divinity of Jesus Christ. He is God. The angel said that. The prophet said that. People can recognize that. He is the one. He is the Messiah, the Holy One, as Mary called him. But here what we see is Jesus being fully man. He's not just 100% God. He's 100% human. And I love that. If you ask, do you understand everything, how that works and how that... No, I can't. I don't. And there's a reason for that. It's because I'm a person that have boundaries and limits, right? And how can I understand something that doesn't have boundaries or limits? How can I understand God? He's trying to put an ocean inside of a cup, right? In this case, my mind is the cup and the ocean is God. There's no way. But what the Bible says to us, that Jesus was fully God, as Luke is describing, but he's fully human, growing up, running. I don't know how was your early days in growing up, right? What I recall was very simple, right? I know today some our kids stay in tablets and have so many schedules and technology here, but it was very simple. I would play with marbles in the street. I would play with a kite, right? Some toys that I will build with my own hands, right? And I can see Jesus doing the same. I can see Jesus just run around in the village, play maybe with a ball. Yeah, he was a boy. And I know sometimes we see Jesus just as God, but let's see him as human. And that is so important to perceive and understand Jesus as human. Someone that was faced sadness, that was thirst, that was hurt, that felt alone, left behind. Because he's fully human, he can understand what you go through and what I face. It is interesting that every day on this journey we read Hebrews 4:16, right? That Bible verse that says that God, we can approach God and all and with boldness, and He's there for us. And but the verse before says we can do that because He faced all the temptations. He was fully human. And that brings a connectness with us, God understanding what we go through. God doesn't point a finger on you because He knows how difficult it is to have people turn His back on you, because God had faced that. God understands what is betrayal because God faced that. God understand what is being alone and not having anyone around because God faced that. God understands all the issues that we face and bring sadness to our heart because God have experienced that as human. So He can identify with us and provide grace and love. So because Jesus has faced that, He wishes that no one go through that, and He's there for us. And that's so beautiful. So Jesus was fully human. And because He was fully human, and He had so great parents to provide an example of obedience, surrender, and this idea of a loving God, that we have the following line of verse 40. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. You see, he didn't have only knowledge about God, only about information. He had wisdom, this ability to discern, to differentiate between good and evil, what is better, to have a critical analysis of things, right? And I tell you, there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge and maybe even degrees, a lot of information in their heads, but they don't have wisdom. And there are people that have a lack of formal education, right? One of the most wise persons that I know doesn't know how to write or read, but has this discernment. There's this wisdom, right? But Jesus had the knowledge, but He has the wisdom as well. And a wisdom that comes from the Word of God, a good example of the parents, a parents that talk with their child, right? And God's favor was on him. That's so beautiful. God was with him, being with him, loving him, not because he was doing something, but because Jesus was Jesus, and Jesus was being obedient. And we see on verse 52 this concept again. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all people. Jesus had a normal development, on physical development, a social development, emotional development, but a spiritual development that not just the people around him noticed, but God did. And not just people around him were pleased by what was happening with that baby and that toddler and child Jesus, but God as well, right? Jesus learned to be obedient, and we will see that on the next account tomorrow. So because he had great examples, a good environment, Jesus was able to learn from their parents how to be one with God, how to love God, obey God, be obedient to God. And that's the reality. You see, the Bible says, if we teach the kids or the child on the ways of the Lord, that ways will never departure from them. The Bible verse is not saying that the kid will never departure from the ways of the Lord, but the ways of the Lord will never departure from the child. So the seed is there, the principles are there, right? And because the child, our child, our children, they have freedom. They may not choose what we will love them to choose, right? I pray for Olivia and Christopher every day that they will make good choices. Yesterday, I was teaching them and talk about that with them. Hey, you can make your own choices in life, but you cannot pick the consequence of your choices. So make proper decisions, right? And so I pray, I try to teach them, I show right the way, but at the end of the day, they will make their own decisions. And we need to pray and respect and love them, right? But what I know is if they are taught, not just in words, but example, the ways of the Lord will be there. And even though they may departure from the ways will not departure from them. And that's our responsibility, to teach by example. And Jesus had great examples, great role models that were not perfect, but were role models. So let me ask you, are you a role model for your children, grandchildren, for your neighbor, for the people that you work with? Do they see the principles of God? Because when we are obedient to God and disobedience coming as a result or a consequence of experiencing God's love, we will be transformed. And the fruits of the Spirit will raise and will be evident in us. And those fruits will make the difference in our lives, and people start noticing, and people maybe see you as a model of a family, of a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a children, because you're following that. So are the fruits of the Spirit being a reality in your life for those around you? I pray that we will live this loving relationship, this loving experience with God, so the transformation will take place and we can be reference for the people around us, especially for those that we love and are under the same roof. The life of a disciple, a life of an apprentice of Jesus, is an ongoing transformation that will take a lifetime. And this transformation and growth will continue even in eternity. I believe so. But we need to start today, being faithful, giving good examples. Hey, if you never dedicate your time to church or to God's things, how do you expect that your child will do that on that way? If your child don't see you praying, how you expect them to pray? You see, we teach by example, and I pray that will be teaching by your example, because you're following Jesus' steps in a loving relationship with the God that loves you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you know why God asks us to do that? Love God with all our mind, soul, and strength? It's because God does that with us. God loves us with everything he has and with everything he is. And say, hey, let's have this experience. Love me back. May God bless you so you can do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for examples and the lessons that we can find here in the scriptures. Please be with everyone that's listening to my voice, that they can experience this loving relationship with you, and trust that you have your best interest in them, and then they will surrender, submit themselves to you. And I pray for this transformation, where the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested, and on that way, people can be transformed, but people can see as well the transformation that is going on us. Forgive our sins and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Are you ready for our questions, for reflection, for your journal, right? So here's are the questions that we present to you every single day. What is happening in this passage that we just read? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Thank you so much for joining us. I hope to see you tomorrow. If you want to watch again, if you want to share, remember our website, therescueworker.com. There you can see our social media platform, our YouTube channel, our podcast channel, where we have an archive of every episode of Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.